Wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business, he make a lot of moves.
Welcome to TechNori Live on WGN Radio. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. DJ Asad, the founder and CEO of Benefit Mobile, sitting here with me. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So before we get into your story and sort of this whole thing, why don't you give us a rundown on what exactly Benefit Mobile is?
Yeah, absolutely. So Benefit Mobile is a mobile payments application. And the idea is you can use it to go shop like you normally would, in store, in person, or online. And when you do, you're going to direct a donation of anywhere between 2 to up to 30% towards the cause or charity that's closest to you. So we say it's like paying with purpose. And that donation is funded by the retailer that we partner with.
Very cool. So one of the, you know, there's other, obviously other platforms out there that do similar things. Mm-hmm. I think each one, and it's not even exclusive to shopping, like I throw into this irrationally. Public Good is an example of a platform that enables people to spend money towards causes that they care about in places that they probably didn't expect to see it.
Right.
I think it's an interesting market to me because you're looking at people who would always tell you if polled, they would always say, yes, I would love to donate X dollars. I would love to round up money and give it to somebody.
Sure.
And when you tell them, okay, cool, all you have to do is go back here and do this, they never do it.
Right.
And
right.
So I look at this as an opportunity, not just, I mean, obviously it's a great opportunity from a business model standpoint to make oodles of cash, hopefully.
Yes,
it is also a great opportunity for individual consumers to pain-free donations given to whoever they care about.
Absolutely.
And it's also, in my opinion, a massive opportunity for the actual stores and the product makers themselves to lend a hand and be able to say, listen, we helped contribute to X million dollars in donations for whatever causes.
Absolutely.
How did you personally come up with this? Like, what was the impetus for you deciding to build a platform?
Yeah, so I won't take credit where it's not due. I'm not the founder of the company.
Oh, okay.
The founder is a man named Derek Lally.
You should have taken credit.
I should have.
But hey, Derek, he couldn't make it here.
Derek's still, I mean, he's our CEO, COO, I should say. So he might have a bone to pick with me. But so Derek is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And what brought the idea to him is all these different fundraising things that are out there. He has school-age children, and he's constantly getting hit up for gift wrap, buy chocolate, popcorn.
Oh, my God, yes.
And then the organizations he was a part of as well. Would you donate here? Can you do this? And he's like,
the stuff they sell is always total garbage. Like
stuff
the
wall, you don't need.
The wrapping paper was always like a premium thing.
Right.
But it's like everything else. Like, here's a gift card for a bunch of places where, like, you know, free chips if I buy a half a sub. Like, who the hell is going to buy a half a sub? Like, it was never all that great, which is why this, to me, I guess if that's where this was going, I mean, it's the market for just booster and student raising alone is insane.
Absolutely. So that, I mean, that's where the idea was born out of. And then it was all the things you just mentioned that we're talking about have a finite time to them, right?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, usually a big time right now to try and hit people up for those types of donations. The idea here was that we could do this year round.
True.
And have people contributing through their everyday shopping, exactly like you said, buying the things they're buying anyway.
Yeah.
So that's where the idea was born. I actually was in another company, was a company called M Foundry out of San Francisco, that was acquired by a company called FIS. Our big claim to fame is that we built the Starbucks app and a number of other commerce apps and banking apps. And so one of the early investors in Benefit reached out to me kind of with my Starbucks experience and said, hey, this is kind of similar because it's Starbucks, but everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's giving back. And so I was really excited to hear about it. And Derek and I talked and from there on, now here I am.
Awesome. So walk me through a little bit of like when you come on. I mean, I think there's two interesting stories here. The first is like, you know, how long has Benefit Mobile been up and running?
Well, up and running about a year and a half.
Knowing that it's running, a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not common for a founder, unless it's like a side hustle thing, it's not common for them to come on and bring a CEO in like at that pace. So
right.
I think it's cool to find out for the startups out there who are thinking about that, the founders out there who've got a great idea but know like my strength is here and the duties here are better suited for somebody else. Walk us a little bit through sort of your own kind of, you know, taking on a role like that. It's not easy to come into somebody else's baby and be like, you know, that's an ugly baby.
Yeah, no, exactly. And if I, at the very beginning, thought it was an ugly baby,
I don't mean like that literally, but like you look at like a business, like this is a great idea, awesome stuff.
Right.
But, you know, you're going to have your own spin on things and you're going to have your own, you know, you bring a certain value prop.
Right.
Right. And so they brought you in to do something that wasn't there.
Right.
So I guess it's interesting to me to learn a little bit about, from one side of the coin, your journey into this sort of becoming a CEO in a company you didn't found. And then also just like where you guys have gone with the company and what we should expect to see coming out of Benefit Mobile.
Yeah. You know, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Derek knew what his strengths were and knew he could get the company to X. And then he knew where he needed help and help to allow him to continue doing what he does best. Yeah. So very self-aware and very just aware of what was best for the business. And he had this love for the business. So that was, it was a no-brainer to him. He and I, not to get romantic here, but we had a pretty nice chemistry right out of the gate. And that's to this day been critical, right? Because if I came in and started, like you said, calling his baby ugly or saying, we're going to change this, it would mess with the chemistry of not only he and I, but then of the company. And that's
it's funny because like we work with like Hired is one of the partners of Technori, and we talk to them a lot about, you know, when people are startup companies as well as just tech companies in general, when they're trying to hire, you know, outside talent, especially at the C level, there's a lot of awesome metrics that you can look into, and there's all kinds of personality tests and profiles and stuff you can build. But there really isn't anything like, I could ask you your favorite football team. Do you like sports? Like, and we could try to bond on this.
Right.
There really isn't a test to determine whether or not you're going to have the patience to deal with me when I'm an asshole.
Right.
And whether I'm going to have the patience to deal with you when you're going 1,000 miles a minute, tearing stuff up.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think that's one of the lessons to be learned, I think, for most entrepreneurs slash really any business, is trying to figure out, like, very early on, how do we test each other to know our own boundaries so that when you start going into the nitty gritty, like, you know when to step off the gas a little and they know when to, you know, how, like,
right.
How did you guys, was it just a natural fit and you never had to talk about it? Or is it something where you guys were like, maybe didn't talk about it, but you looked at each other and kind of had that intuition where it was like, all right, I know the cut of your jib. I know what's going
on. Yeah. No, I think we had a nice little test run with it, actually. So I initially was just kind of giving free advice, learned about the company, really liked what he was doing. You know, we give to a number of organizations, just my family does. And so this was a neat way to support that and what we thought would be the future of fundraising.
And buy some cool stuff instead of buying garbage.
Yeah, exactly. So I more or less just worked with Derek kind of at an arm's length, giving advice, making introductions. And so we kind of got the chance to feel each other out that way and see, hey, yeah, we do get along. And then it came to a point where Derek was like, hey, you know, I need your help. And some of the investors are like, we think you'd be a great guy to come in here and help. And so by that point, I had already built the relationship, so it was comfortable.
So had he raised a round prior to bringing you on, or had raised?
He did. Yeah, he did a little bit of angel investors, and then one venture firm that was on board before I got in.
Very cool. And the tech and stuff, is there an internal CTO, or do you guys are all building like it's all proprietary?
Nope. We have our own development team, internal CTO, hands full.
So I was going to ask, is like that to me is where. To me, where the rubber meets the pavement a lot of times in experiences with companies who have had multiple founders and then they cut a couple of them out or they decide to walk and they bring in a new group, is you having experience worked on the Starbucks app. Obviously, you're going to have, you know, a vision for what good tech and scalable, buildable tech looks like.
Right.
And it's got to be one of those things, like, did he let you see some of the code or get you... I guess my point is, like, were you able to know ahead of time that, like, this is something that either I have to rebuild, which is totally fine if I, you know, am up for it, or this is something that, like, that looks like something I can do?
Yeah, so I am not technical enough to look at the code and really have much of an opinion there. I did work with the folks that did that.
Sure.
And I had a good idea of what the end product came out to be. So I guess it was more at a product level and then at the on the business side of how to market and sell it. I could look at the user experience and the user interface and say, this is amazing. This is on par with what my team of 100 does, and you guys did it with 2.
Yeah.
So it's a good mix of you know, our developer, our CTO, in combination with Derek and his skills and kind of graphic design and his marketing skills, really put together something nice and polished. And I said, we just need to tell the world about this, find the right partners, find the right charities to partner with and get the word out.
Very cool. So speaking of that, let's move on to sort of the business as we start to grow. I mean, you've got sort of the version 1.0. He's got the idea. He's attacking schools, and I don't mean attacking schools. He is not attacking schools. He is attacking the market that is schools,
right.
And he's going after after that market. Recognizes probably through some, I mean, on his own, but also probably through conversations with you, that there's a greater opportunity out there. What was, like, you know, how long have you been there now?
Just since the beginning of the year.
Okay, so since the beginning of the year. So you've had, you know, a decent amount of time. Where were you guys when you came in? Where are you guys right now, and where are you planning on being in the next year and change?
Yeah, so you touched on a great point. The kind of the initial launch of the product itself was really word of mouth.
Yep.
So a lot of local Grand Rapids firms, schools and organizations kind of on the smaller side. Schools kind of know this game, so yeah. It was an easy sell to them to get involved. Since then, we have tried to focus more on larger partnerships, larger organizations, a couple we're having really nice conversations with now. They get excited about where this can go. I mean, as I was mentioning earlier, you know, a lot of them are looking at, hey, we're losing dollars here. We're kind of maxing out the people who are writing the checks, and the new folks don't know how to find out about us or aren't engaged with us. And so they look at this as a future of fundraising too. Not only are they getting the funds that we generate, but they're getting the brand impression and the identity in front of the people that eventually could become big check writers.
Sure.
Without fatiguing them in giving funds. So the word of mouth is kind of where we were at the beginning of the year. We started to do some partnerships. This year we've really had some great growth. We've got well over 100% growth even just in year. Obviously, we're getting into our busiest season now. Sure. We're right smack dab in the middle of our busiest season.
Good time to take a break and come talk to me at WGN. Yeah. No problem.
Yes, absolutely. No, it's great. And the nice thing is the company practically runs itself. Now,
You probably don't want to say that when it comes time to your I don't know when all your vesting takes place, but this is probably not that time.
Yeah, no. It is busy, but it's been great. We've seen tremendous results. Growth beyond what we could have expected, and excited to, you know, kind of hit the reset button at the beginning of the year and say, okay, how do we hit hard at the end of 2018?
You know what just drives me nuts about these? Like, I see this opportunity that you guys are right in the middle of.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there's other companies that are starting to jump on this. And random funny story, and maybe if you recognize the failure point in this, please by all means spit it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, like, 2013, I was working with a couple of startup companies on a loyalty rewards app,
mm-hmm.
which was like the thing in like 2013.
Sure.
And the pitch that I had made on them was, and obviously I'm here talking to you, so it didn't work. the pitch that I made on them was that we could partner with media companies. Like, we had this deal in front of the Sun Times that at the time, prior to selling everything to Tribune, they had, what, 40-something properties around the Chicagoland area.
Right.
And we could build an app that was loyalty rewards that was branded Sun Times Evanston, Sun Times Naperville, Sun Times whatever.
Sure.
And all of the local businesses within those communities could essentially pay to be a part of this app. And then all that would happen is when you download the Sun Times Evanston app to get your news, you also now get a weekly rundown of all of the stores that you can buy at a discount.
Did you have to download specifically the Sun Times Evanston app?
Yeah, so you're seeing
There's
the failure
problem.
That got us killed. and the funniest thing is, like, so then we got it, and Sun Times almost bought this. Like, I mean, it was a $10 million+ sitting on the table, and they ended up selling all of their properties to the Tribune. So then we walked across the street and went to the Tribune. We're like, you have one app. It is the shittiest app I've ever had,
right.
But it is one app.
Right.
So we could do this. Either way, every time we took this down the path, it wasn't going to work. And what I didn't know then, I was befuddled when the deal went through. When the deal did not go through, I was lost as to why we were struggling, other than the obvious. We knew that there was a marketing challenge,
right,
with individual apps. The thought and hope was you get your local app to get your local stuff, and prior to today it didn't make sense, but like, it,
sure,
you could, like, try to argue you could market it. I don't know,
right.
It was a failed idea. But what has happened since then just makes me crazy. And that is that we focused on the wrong side of the market, but if we would have switched over and focused on the consumers themselves and replaced advertising revenue for the businesses and charging the businesses but rather just used fundraising instead of discounts for the sake of advertising,
right,
we'd be right here where you guys are at. And it just...
Yeah. Yeah, there's you know,
there's a lot of moving parts, and I'm not saying it's like it's A and B, but it was the same general idea of how we were going to make money.
Sure.
Was the exact same. It was to provide discounts to a consumer,
right,
by giving them something that they already were using.
Right. But yeah, I think the something they're already using is a big part of it, right? Because I mean, there's a lot of affiliate marketing companies out there. Yeah. A lot of affiliate marketing, a lot of incentive marketing. Yep. They're trying to drive you to do exactly what you were saying earlier, buy the things you weren't necessarily buying before. And there's a market for that.
Yeah.
I think where we kind of separate ourselves and don't put ourselves in that bucket is, A, we're an app. So we're meant to be just part of your daily life. If my competitor is more Apple Pay than it is an affiliate marketer.
Yeah, for sure.
And the difference is, you use Apple Pay, hey, it's cool, I use my phone. You use Benefit to Pay, and hey, I use my phone, it's cool, and I also supported, you know, cancer research or children's education or impoverished neighborhood relief fund or
something.
Well,
you know, like I'd say, like now knowing, like looking back at my older self, now knowing what I do, and as well as knowing the media industry the way that I do, I made what I think is a fatal flaw for any founder in any business in particular. But if you make the number one reason, whatever you want to call it, value prop, the number one reason someone should use or engage your product is up to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
you're making a huge mistake.
Right.
And that you guys didn't make that. You guys have basically made your value prop the ability to save time and money, but also to give back. So
right.
like it's all on you to do whatever you want to do.
Right.
We relied on a media provider to provide content that it had to be good enough for you to download the app. And if it wasn't, we lose even though we had nothing to do with
right.
it.
Well, even with some of the partnerships we make, right? Because
yeah.
if we make a partnership that doesn't have any monetary exchange and we're just relying on them going to do the things we want them to do, well,
yeah, they're not
going to
do it. Yeah, they're never going to push. I was telling this to either my guys or somebody else the other day that when the thought that like we signed up new strategic partners means nothing.
Right.
The thought that you think that they're going to send their salespeople to push your product when there's not a massive incentive on their end is just lunacy.
Well, they're running through the same problems we all are as prioritization, right?
Yeah.
So if they're not incentivized to do
yeah.
it, then they're not going to do it. So relying on other folks to do it for you.
Probably not
work.
The best model.
Right.
I feel like it's one of those things that you do early on when you're about to meet with investors to try to jack the numbers up and be like, yeah,
yeah
look,
yeah.
we're like inside of 25 you know, targets on us. Like,
right. Right.
Target doesn't really make any money from this. Target's not going to do much for you.
Right.
But interesting. This is great. What do you think is the next sort of the next iteration of this? Obviously, you know, you don't have to go into the details of it,
yeah.
but like just what are you thinking on?
Well, a couple things. So on the product side, we have a whole roadmap of product improvements to make to make the app even faster. It's already faster than a credit card transaction. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah.
But continue making it faster because speed is key in the payments world. As well as adding some geolocation, geofencing capabilities and to really kind of keep it top of your mind as you're going to the different retailers and help you to know, oh, yeah, I didn't know this retailer participates in Benefit.
Yeah.
So that's on the product side. On the business side, some of the things we're really excited about. We've got some interesting discussions with some nice national large organizations that I think see the ability of this to capture their future donors.
Yep.
Get some market and brand impression in front of their supporters that maybe just, you know, read about them, but now they can also support them and getting to the phase where, hey, a little later in life, they can write the check.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to go back into the 2013 tech machine that I have here,
mm-hmm.
You could throw some iBeacons. I remember when iBeacon was going to
oh,
be
sure.
a thing. Throw some beacons into all of your partner stores so that when people walk in, they automatically get a ping saying, you know, you can save money today shopping here.
It's interesting you say that. So I've always taken the approach, even kind of in my previous life, I'm not going to be the gating factor of the technology. It's
yep.
more than likely going to be the retailer
sure.
being able to deploy it in their stores. When they have it ready, I'll be there to support it.
Absolutely.
So if it's Bluetooth, iBeacon, if it's, you know, NFC still, who knows what's going on
yeah.
with that now with the whole EMV chip cards and
yep.
all that. But if as soon as the technology's there in the store, our app will be there to support it.
All I know is that every time I'm near, I mean, Apple's obvious because I'm using an Apple phone, so you know how they're doing it. But
sure.
like every time I drive by an REI, I get the, hey, you're buying REI. It's like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be careful. Too much communication can
so
turn
that
people off.
So the iBeacon right? was also a part of our app solution back in 2013, as you can probably imagine. And there was this little problem that like when you went into the town, every single corner you turn on, you got blown
yeah,
up.
iBeacon, yep.
Yeah, it didn't. Not
they
so
didn't
good.
Have the tuning down distance yet either.
I had a lifelong a life's worth of failed lessons to be made up in one project that was incredible. Honestly, God, like, it was the best thing ever happened. It's like I got everything, my hopes and dreams to utter devastation and everything in between, all done in like a year and change. So I came out a new man.
There you go. But you recovered well.
I'm recovered. Yeah. Well, that's publicly it looks that way. Thank you so much. Where do people go to download the app, get involved with you, learn more, give you feedback, etc.?
Yeah. So to download the app, you just go into the Android Market or Apple iTunes Store. You type in Benefit, should be the first thing that comes up. You can type in Benefit Mobile if you want to get more specific. You go to our webpage, www.benefit-mobile.com. We just bought benefitmobile.com, but that's not up yet. You can go there as an organization. You can go there to register your cause to be in our list of beneficiaries, or as a user, you can just go there to learn more. But ultimately, you have to go to the App Store to download the app.
Very cool. DJ, thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott.
Of course. You can catch this episode of More at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter @technori, or, of course, follow me @Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.